Support for the Double Dome podcast comes from the Sorrell College of Business at Troy University, where students become geeks, an acronym for globally aware, ethical decision makers, engaged with the business community, knowledgeable to compete, and successful in business and life. More information at troy.edu/business.
The opinions expressed on this program represent the viewpoints of individual authors or contributors and do not necessarily reflect those of Troy University. This is eConversations, a joint production of Troy Trojan Vision and the Manuel H. Johnson Center for Political Economy. Now, here's your host, Dr. Dan Sutter.
Hello and welcome to eConversations. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Sutter of the Johnson Center for Political Economy at Troy University. Once upon a time, businesses did not take stances on controversial political and cultural issues of the day. Instead, they stuck to selling goods and services and tried to avoid alienating potential customers or employees. All of this has changed with the arrival of what has been termed woke capitalism. Is it possible for the business world to rediscover the traditional virtues of commerce that enabled cooperation among diverse people without forcing anyone's values on others, and which helped create the prosperity of contemporary America? The Johnson Center has been trying to do this through our Free Enterprise Scholars Program. How has it been going? Well, that's what we'll be talking about on today's show. And to help me with this, I'm joined by Dr. Alan Mendenhall, the Grady Rosier Professor and the Executive Director of the Johnson Center, and two of Troy University's most outstanding students, whom we're proud to claim as Free Enterprise Scholars, Mackenzie Ensley and Ethan Girona. Well, welcome to eConversations. And so let's start with Ethan and Mackenzie. Tell us a little bit about yourselves, your background, how you got to Troy University, and what you're studying.
Yes, sir. So my name is Ethan Girona. I'm a senior majoring in economics and minoring in American politics. Mackenzie and I are actually from the same hometown we graduated. She graduated with my younger brother, a class a few below me. And on campus, I'm a Supreme Court justice for the SGA, Student Government Association. I'm involved with the Free Enterprise Scholars Program. And outside of campus, I'm currently a public affairs and policy intern for the state finance director, and I've done a communications internship with Governor Kay Ivey's office and some other internships here and there.
And I can also add that you were recently selected as the RS Outstanding Economics Major for 2024. So, Mackenzie, tell us a little about yourself.
Yeah, so my name is Mackenzie Ensley, and I am from Smith Station, Alabama, same as Ethan. I'm a sophomore global business major with a concentration in risk management insurance. I work on campus at the Tutoring Center as an economics and writing tutor, and on campus I also serve on the Supreme Court and SGA, and off campus I am really involved at a local summer camp that I work at.
Awesome, great. So, Alan, tell us a little bit about the our Free Enterprise Scholars Program. Tell people when we got started and what we're trying to do in the big picture here.
Well, Dan, as you remember well, during the summer of 2022, we both read Vivek Ramaswamy's Woke Inc. and thought this would be a really interesting text around which to build a complete program. And we realized that a lot of young people and others were considering things like profits to be negative. And we thought, we need to really tell the story about the positive things that businesses do to show young people and society writ large that profits are in fact good, that firms can't hire people, cannot provide benefits, cannot contribute to the community, cannot contribute to philanthropy without earning profits. And so we developed this program and we launched it in August 2022, and the rest is history.
And Mackenzie and Ethan, you were two of our first Free Enterprise Scholars. So tell us a little bit about your thoughts coming into this program. What did you think when you saw the email that you received describing this or inviting you to participate?
So I had taken kind of a gap year, did some remote work for the spring semester leading up to the 2022 fall year. I had did an internship with the Alabama State Legislature, and getting back onto campus, I really wanted to get involved because I hadn't had much opportunity my freshman year because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Mendenhall sent out this email through the business school saying, hey, we have this new program starting. It's kind of about traditional business practices and mixing in that political element. So I was really interested in that and jumped on it right away, and here we are today.
Yeah, it's about the same story for me too, but I was an incoming freshman mm-hmm. when I started the program, and I knew I wanted to get involved in campus doing something. And when I read the email, I thought this program sounded like something that I'd be really interested in, so I definitely applied.
Awesome, awesome. So you've both been great in the program. So Alan, tell us a little bit more. You mentioned some of these traditional virtues of commerce, but as we go beyond that, what are some of these virtues that we're trying to share with our students?
Well, in general, commerce and exchange have a civilizing effect on people. They minimize irrational and violent behavior, and they encourage or facilitate cooperation and exchange. And that is so important in a society that is politically fractured. I actually think that business as historically practiced could do a lot to heal some of the wounds in society and to work towards overcoming some of the fracture in our political climate right now. When we are so divided, business is something that can unite us.
And so you know, we certainly had one speaker, Chuck Salvo, who did a great job of bringing, talk about some of what the work that he does, helping in some of these fractured workplaces. But, you know, so Ethan and Mackenzie, what do you see as some of these virtues of capitalism? Are we convincing you that, you know, for instance, businesses always are making the world a better place simply because consumers want to buy their products and workers want to work there? So what do you guys think?
I'd say just as an economics student, it's one of the first things you learn is incentives really do matter, and it motivates people's actions. And in today's political context, people are always worried about stakeholder capitalism and not so much about shareholder capitalism, which takes into consideration how businesses do have to care about their customers, their suppliers, mm-hmm. The people they're competing against and the people that they work with. They have to take all these into consideration, consider their incentives and why they do want to work with this business. Stakeholder capitalism kind of, I would say, is the same thing, but they try to make it sound a little bit more fancy and throw more political elements into it when traditional business practices are traditionally civil and promote cooperation amongst individuals.
Yeah, I mean, you have to treat your customers with respect because they don't have to buy your product. And so necessarily you have to treat customers and employees with respect or they will not do business with you. So Mackenzie, what have you learned some of these lessons about cooperation?
Well, we've talked a lot about business, the modes of business, the classical theories of business. And I would definitely say that coming into this program, I had never thought about really anything towards business. I just hadn't given it a second thought. And I guess really talking about the risks involved with business, investing, starting a business, working for a business, I would say that I've never really thought about that before. But it was really interesting to look at it from a different perspective and to think about it in terms of scarce resources. If someone is starting a business, they're doing their duty to society by providing a good or service that people couldn't get otherwise. Yeah. And there are trade-offs. So they could have gotten a job somewhere else, but instead they're choosing to serve the customers by giving them what they want. And that in and of itself is ethical and good. And that's why we should protect business.
And, you know, many times in small towns, I mean, they're helping make that community stronger by hiring people or giving them better options for shopping in their community. So, now two of the topics that we've spoken about a lot over the last couple of years are what we call ESG and then corporate stakeholderism. And I think we've mentioned stakeholderism a little bit, but Alan, tell us a little bit about these two important issues, because they've also, ESG's been a topic for some of our research that we've been working on. So it's an important topic and one that we've tried to convey here and cover in the Free Enterprise Scholars program.
Well, ESG is a wide-ranging subject, but to put it as simplistically as possible, ESG is an acronym that stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance, and it refers particularly to the investment and financial services space and to the practice of accounting for non-financial standards and factors when firms allocate capital or assess risk. So stakeholderism is just one element of ESG. Ethan, you made an excellent point earlier talking about stakeholderism, which presumes that under the traditional shareholder model of corporate governance, firms are not already considering the interests and concerns of clients, customers, employees, suppliers, when in fact every successful business under the traditional shareholder model has to account for the interests of all those constituencies if it wants to remain successful as a firm. And so I believe that the stakeholder model is sort of predicated on a false assumption. And again, this is just one element of ESG. There are numerous other factors to consider, whether you're looking under the E or the S prong. And in general, ESG pushes corporations into controversial politics rather than freeing them up to focus on their business and doing what businesses need to do to succeed.
And the financial part in financial markets really sort of works almost use weaponized access to finance, which all businesses need, because all businesses run on credit. They can't run a business without banking services, and they're really trying to use that as a leverage over businesses to sort of force them to advance certain issues.
That's right, and I do not believe ESG could succeed if it were just a purely private endeavor. It's because so much of ESG investing takes place with pension money, with government bonds, with sovereign wealth funds, in short, with government money, that it's able to even have any sort of traction whatsoever. Absent the government investment, I don't think ESG can compete against the market. And in fact, we see study after study now coming from the private sector, coming from financial institutions, showing that ESG weighted portfolios, ESG index funds, actually underperform the market. Right. And it just makes sense, because if the market is about diversifying your investments to mitigate risk, well, if you narrow the range of possible investments, then just mathematically, it's impossible to compete against the market, because you have fewer industries and fields in which to invest.
And so, Mackenzie and Ethan, what are some of your things that you guys have learned from our program about these topics of ESG and stakeholderism? Mackenzie?
Yes. Well, coming to this program, I think the biggest thing that we've talked a lot about has definitely been ESG in terms of, in terms of fiduciary duty, I would say that's probably been the biggest thing. Fiduciary duty means that if you have control of people's money, you have to do with their money what's in their best interest. Mm-hmm. So I would say that thinking about it in terms of corporate officers having control of millions of dollars of their investors' money, that it is their duty to invest it in ways that maximize their return on investment, not on movements or initiatives that promote certain ideologies or other ways of thinking, because at the end of the day, their main job should be to maximize shareholder investment, not to promote their ideas or beliefs. And by doing that, they're violating their fiduciary duty, and that's not what business is for.
And it's especially not supposed to take other people's money and then use it in ways that they haven't explicitly authorized you to use that. Ethan?
I kind of piggybacking off what Mackenzie said, I think there's no argument that people want to make money, that you like more money than less money. And when you include this environmental social governance aspect to it, you're allowing these corporate managers or firm investors to take people's money and put them into projects or initiatives that are more controversial. So I think allowing people to be confident that their money is being spent in ways or invested in ways that will secure higher profits and not necessarily social causes is a big part of what we've talked about in the program. So ESG has been a big part of the program that we talked about in stakeholder capitalism, like Dr. Mendenhall has mentioned.
And Dan, if I may, there are other vehicles for investors who wish to put their money towards social or environmental causes. Mm-hmm. And they are charity, they are philanthropy. You don't have to put your money in an index fund in order to try to make the world a better place according to your vision of what that ought to be.
Right. And I mean, and to be clear, you know, I guess investors are free to invest their money however they want. And if
Absolutely.
They have strong values and they think that their business or their financial investments should be consistent with those values and not invest in things that they don't personally think make the world a better place, they're free to use their money however they want. And at some level, you could expect to see financial markets aggregate, you know, offer products that would sort of appeal to such investors. But you know, the issues that we are dealing with ESG are far more complicated than that. It's like it is using some other people's money without explicit consent. And like, as you said, Mackenzie, that gets into this issue of fiduciary duty. And so, yeah, it's important to understand exactly what's going on with some of these issues. So, Alan, tell us a little bit about some of the different speakers and some of the ways we've gone about, advancing these ideas.
Sure. Well, some of our recent speakers have been Alexandra Hudson, who spoke about the importance of civility to society writ large. Andy Alavastra of the Heritage Foundation, one of Troy University's distinguished alumni. Jay Nordlinger from the National Review Institute. Ben Johnson, a professor from the University of Florida, spoke about corporate law and issues related to corporations. Richard Avraminko, who is now leaving the University of Wisconsin to go join SCETL, the School of Economic Thought and Research, the School of Economic Thought and Leadership at Arizona State University. Anson Friericks, the president of Strive Asset Management. Mm-hmm. Andy Puzder, the former CEO of CKE Restaurants. Scott Shepard of the National Center for Public Policy Research. These are just a few examples of the people who came and spoke. But we also had generous organizations donate books for us to read. For example, the American Enterprise Institute donated copies of Morality of Markets, Arguments for the Free Market System, which was edited by Yuval Levin. The Cato Institute donated copies of The Case for Shareholder Capitalism, which we read. And then we've read books by Jim Otteson, Seven Deadly Economic Sins and Honorable Business. These are really excellent books, and I know the students worked really hard to read week in and week out, because we either did a reading group, which you directed, of course, or we had a guest lecturer come in every single week, with maybe the exception of spring break in the spring and maybe Thanksgiving break in the fall. So this is a rigorous program, and it's a very deep commitment that the students make to the program. And I'm just excited about how well it's gone and how much the students have excelled. I've seen them grow, I've watched them learn, and that has been an exciting experience for me personally.
And we've also been able to, as you see from some of these pictures, have an opportunity to interact with some of these speakers on a one-on-one basis, or not just in our discussion, but outside of that, at a dinner or whatever. So, and I think those are really important things to add to the student learning experience as well.
Absolutely. I think getting to know these speakers on a personal, one-on-one basis leads to very interesting learning experiences, but also to opportunities. I know we've had at least one student gain an important internship through interactions with a guest lecturer.
So, Ethan, what have been some of the highlights that you've seen from our speakers that we've had coming in to talk to the group?
I've really enjoyed being able to sit down with these speakers, listen to them. One of them, Ben Johnson, talking about the corporate activities and things like that, and then going to dinner with him afterwards and just being able to pick his brain on, I mean, the classes he's teaching, and I believe Florida State, things of that nature, and to just like the book club in general. It's kind of, when we first found out that we were going to be reading books, it was a little daunting adding another two books onto the schedule of classes and things of that nature, but they've actually been really interesting books, and it's easy. It's kind of almost a page flipper. It's not necessarily a thriller or anything, but it's still interesting being able to read these books and kind of compare them to the real world and things that I'm seeing at work as well.
Yeah, I think that both of those books that you mentioned, Alan, that we covered this last semester were very well done. And I commend AEI and Cato for putting those out. So, Mackenzie, what have been some of your highlights in terms of the speakers that stand out?
Yeah, so her name escapes me, but she wrote The Soul of Civility.
That's Alexandra Hudson, Lexi Hudson.
Ms. Hudson was very interesting. I think she's been my favorite speaker that we've hosted so far, just because I feel like we had a really good in-depth conversation about what being civil means. Mm-hmm. And we sat down, ate dinner with her in the conference room, and that was just a really great experience. And we have copies of her book, and I have read some of it, and I thought it was really interesting. But I would also just say that the biggest highlight for me was probably like finding community in the business school, and specifically in the econ department, because I'm not an economics major. Mm-hmm. But being able to build connections with economics professors and other econ students has been a really good experience, and just getting more context of my business education from all the books we've read. I would say that it's been really helpful going through my introductory business classes and having a greater understanding of what all we're talking about in class. So this program has definitely helped me in that aspect.
And so you think it's added some things beyond anything you're getting in classes?
Yes.
And Ethan, you see that?
Yes, sir. It's been super. Principal classes, you kind of go into it knowing more than the other students do. Mm-hmm. We hear about these shareholder capitalism concepts, and some of the other students are struggling to grasp it, but we're meeting weekly and discussing these things with one another and kind of picking each other's brain, picking your you two's brain about the topics and conversations as well. So I think overall it's been a beneficial club to be a part of.
And so, Alan, we've been talking recently about, you know, perhaps expanding our program next year to, I guess, after the students go through our reading group, to perhaps try and get them involved some in research on these important topics, because that's another, I think, important thing that we as a university should be trying to do, is introduce our students to research, because that's what we do as professors, and it's what, you know, got many of us into our career, because we love doing research. And so I think it's really important to try and introduce students to do research, and allow them to also not just read about, but actually do something about some of these issues of the day, right?
That's exactly right. And the Johnson Center has been inundated by requests for research. Because this program is so unique, it is on the map, so to speak. People are noticing what we're doing, and we're working in a space in which there happens to be a high demand for research. So allowing the students who go through the program to, as it were, graduate into a research position is helpful not just for them, in that they're now equipped to do research and they actually get to do research, but also it's helpful to all the people out there seeking more information, more data about, for example, ESG, mm-hmm. or about the shareholder versus the stakeholder model of corporate governance. And thanks to the generous donations from private donors, we're able to take this program to the next level. The Bradley Foundation has been particularly generous. We have a new donor in the APGAR Foundation. The Acton Institute has been contributing. I mentioned AEI and the Cato Institute providing books for the mm-hmm. program. And then locally here we have Alpha, which has provided some funding for the program. And then just numerous private donors just giving one small gift here, one small gift there, has enabled us to grow the program, to fund the students, to provide books for the students, to give them scholarship money for participating in the program, and now to take it to the next level, where we will have not just a new core of students going through the program as mm-hmm. it has been operating the last 2 years, but to have new positions in which we have the people who have gone through the program start doing research and start really taking their learning and understanding to the next level.
Well, and already this year, our Free Enterprise Scholars have worked on some op-eds to discuss something. So, Ethan, you were working on an op-ed related to unions, which seems particularly timely today in Alabama, since there's a unionization drive at the Mercedes plant outside of Tuscaloosa. So tell us a little bit about what you've been writing about.
So that's primarily the reason I did decide to write this paper. It's working in Montgomery. It's kind of been a hot topic. We've seen the governor put out a press release about labor unions. The Commerce Secretary, the leaders of the House and Senate have put out things. So I thought it'd be interesting to kind of dive into this topic and figure out the historical context of labor unions, how at one point they were in the benefit of the workers, because we didn't have these laws or regulations in place to protect workers. But over time, we have over 180 federal regulations regulating and governing workplace activities, the relationship between employers and employees, and standard health and safety guidelines for workplaces. So I think over time, they have been beneficial for workers, but in today's current context and political climate, I don't really see the need for labor unions. I think they get more of in the way and try to uplift mm-hmm. a few while taking away jobs for some of the ones that really do need it. Some of the younger people that do not have the skill set necessary. So I thought it was really interesting. I attended a colloquium in Vermont last summer, and we read Milton and Rose Friedman's book, Free to Choose, and he talked a lot about labor unions and how they uplift some of the few in the community but take away a lot from others. So I liked learning more about labor unions and kind of putting my perspective and spin on it and why they're not necessarily needed in today's society.
And Mackenzie, you were writing about a trip that you made to Cuba. So tell us a little about your trip to Cuba and what you saw about socialism and socialism's failures up close and personal.
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to study abroad in Cuba last December, and it was a great experience. But one of my biggest takeaways from that was that their economic system and their government has failed them. Life in Cuba is very different than it is here. There are no public amenities. There are people everywhere in worse poverty than I've ever seen in this country. So I think that the socialist system in Cuba really contributes to that. Mm-hmm. They don't support businesses. They don't support innovation or entrepreneurship, and it shows. Mm-hmm. So that's what I wrote about in talking about the lackings of Cuba and its economy and how its citizens suffer as a result.
And, I mean, lots of college-age students have a high opinion of socialism, so perhaps they should go. I mean, Cuba's only 90 miles off the coast of Florida, and so perhaps they could go see how well socialism is working out in person there.
Absolutely.
And so, Alan, tell us a little bit about, I guess we've touched a little bit what we want to do going forward, but, what do you see in terms of the future for our program here and what might we be doing over the next year or so?
Well, I think we are looking at hosting an event regarding ESG in the fall, and we will be focusing a lot more on research. I know you and I are both working together on articles regarding ESG. I've got a special issue of the Alabama Lawyer, which is the magazine of the state bar publication that's coming out on specifically ESG. It's a corporate law issue, but we're focusing on ESG. And I know we are going to be bringing together researchers from other institutions, both think tanks and universities, to start coordinating and producing more research. And of course, our students are going to be a central part of this experience as well, which will be exciting.
Yeah, and I really look forward to getting some new students into the program and continuing to work with some of our university's most outstanding undergraduates. So, again, thank you, Mackenzie, and thank you, Ethan, for participating in our program and for coming on this show. And thank you all for joining us. Join us again next time for another eConversations.
This has been eConversations, a joint production of Troy Trojan Vision and the Manuel H. Johnson Center for Political Economy at Troy University.
Support for the Double Dome podcast comes from the Sorrell College of Business at Troy University, where students become geeks, an acronym for globally aware, ethical decision makers, engaged with the business community, knowledgeable to compete, and successful in business and life. More information at troy.edu/business.